The book of Jude tonight, would you please with me, the book of Jude. Let's just read for the sake of context this evening. We'll just jump in here. Verse number 10, Jude verse 10. But these, and I want that word these to stick out off the page so you're going to run into it. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. He's speaking of those false teachers. But what they know naturally is brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Notice these two verses. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. I speak to you this evening. I want to tackle Jude verse 14 and 15. Speak to you on the subject of Enoch's declaration of the demise of the deceivers. Enoch's declaration of the demise of, really, of those who are deceived and of the deceivers. Over the last few weeks, we have looked at the erroneous doctrine of those that Jude was contending with, their demeanor, their selfish ways. We have looked at their pernicious deeds, the destructive attitudes that they have manifested. We talked about their destiny. We talked about those sure judgments of God in those illustrations that we looked at, the children of Israel who did not believe God in the wilderness, the fallen angels, and then the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God in then declaring that he would judge in his time. And now this evening, we see who Jude pulls back all the way back to early in the book of Genesis to a man by the name of Enoch. And Jude uses the prophecy of Enoch to declare the demise or the downfall of those who deceive or are deceived. Notice with me verse 14. And Enoch also. Who is this Enoch that Jude is talking about? The truth is, Enoch is one of those Bible characters that we know far, far less about him than what we actually know about him. All we get are just a few tidbits of who he is. We see from the text right here, it says that he is the seventh from Adam in the lineage of the seventh generation from Adam. He is actually, Enoch is actually the great-grandfather of Noah. He lived during what is called the antediluvian age. And that's what we like to sound like we're smart when we throw out words like that. It just means before the flood. Before the flood is when Enoch lived. And what I think would be profitable for us is to turn back and read just a little bit about who he is. So go with me all the way back to the book of Genesis and chapter number 5 this evening. Genesis chapter 5, and we'll read just a very, very few verses about this man. We don't know much about him. In Genesis and chapter number 5, verse 21. Now Jude, you see where Jude is all the way at the close of the book? And he's talking about Enoch, who was all the way to the beginning of the book. Genesis 5, verse 21 says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and beget Methuselah." Everybody remembers Methuselah. Who was Methuselah's father? That would have been Enoch. That's who we're talking about. And Enoch, verse 22, "And Enoch walked with God after he beget Methuselah 300 years and beget sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now, we have this, and then in Hebrews 11, verse 5, I think it is. If you want to look over there, you can. But that's about all we know about Enoch. That's about all that we have. Hebrews 11, verse 5, if I'm right in that, I believe that I am, says that he had this testimony that he pleased God. So we don't know much about Enoch. But Jude knows enough about the ministry of Enoch that when he is addressing these issues that he is writing about, he pulls this up. Remember, Jude is writing either to a church or a group of churches who are doing battle with those who are trying to bring in error and false doctrine. And he goes all the way back to Enoch. And he says, Enoch prophesied of these. If you're back with me in Jude, you will see in Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. I have that word again underscored in my Bible because in the book of Jude, he keeps talking about these false prophets. It goes right back to verse number 4, those certain men who crept in unawares, ungodly men who had turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness and who had denied the only Lord God. And by that, it simply means that they had denied that Christ was who he claimed to be. They denied the veracity, really, of the virgin birth and the deity of Christ. These false teachers were prophesied by Enoch all the way back in the book of Genesis. I really think a whole lot of what Jude is trying to teach us is that God has been warning about false teachers and false doctrine for thousands and thousands of years, all the way back to the seventh from Adam. Adam, and you follow the line all the way down to the seventh, and that's a long time ago, brothers and sisters. That goes way, way back. And Jude is telling his readers that, in fact, it says in Enoch also. In other words, Enoch wasn't the first, and Enoch won't be the last. There have been many. In fact, verse 17 and 18 says that the Lord warned about them, and the apostles warned about them, and Enoch also warned about them, and many others warned about them. Down through the years, there have been many who have warned about these false teachers. And Enoch declares that these deceivers will meet their demise. They will meet their doom. Enoch, in fact, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied or foretold. He, way back then, prophesied, told ahead of times that these false teachers would come. And what did he say? What did Enoch prophesy way back then? I got away from it a little bit. Enoch was translated. In other words, he was just taken up to heaven. Really, there's just a picture there's just a glorious picture in the translation of Enoch of the rapture of the saints. Really what it is Enoch was just walking with God, and the Bible just says, and he was gone. That was it. And I believe that's just an early portrait of the ushering away or the snatching away of the saints, as opposed to, and it's interesting that he uses Enoch, who is snatched up into heaven, and he says that the Lord is coming back. I think there's a great reason why Jude was inspired to use Enoch in this. He could have used any number of Old Testament prophets who warned of these. Throughout the Old Testament, Moses and others warned about false teachers and teachers, false teaching. That God's people have needed this warning, and sadly needed this warning for many, many years. And not only God's people need to be warned about them, but the lost need to be warned that there are false teachers out there that are teaching false doctrine and teaching things that are contrary to the truth of the Word of God. And Enoch, as far back as thousands and thousands of years ago, Enoch was declaring these truths. You have to go back a long way to get all the way back to Enoch, who lived before the flood ever came. These, who are these? Real quick, just look with me. Verse 8 in the book of Jude. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers. Verse 10 says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. Verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity. Verse number 16, these are murmurers, complainers. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves over and over again. Jude warns what Enoch warned all those hundreds and thousands of years ago, that these troublemakers would come and that they would bring with them damnable doctrines, heresies, which will destroy the very soul of man. When you deny that Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be, when you deny His deity, you are propagating a damnable doctrine. A doctrine that will, and I know that's an unpleasant word, but it is a biblical word. It is a doctrine that will damn the soul to an eternal hell. And Jude says Enoch warned about them a long time ago. Now here they are. They're here. Look around. Jude is concerned about the people that he is writing to, saying don't get the idea that they just popped up. God has been warning about them for hundreds and thousands of years now. And they're here. You need to face it. You need to deal with this. They were filthy dreamers, empty clouds. They were greedy. They were barren trees. They were deceitful. In fact, what Jude says is that they are simply ungodly. What does Enoch prophesy? Notice with me the second half of verse 14. What did Enoch say? Behold. Isn't that a glorious word? Stop and look. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. So Jude tells us that Enoch warned about them way back when. Somebody's going to ask the question, well, how does Jude know this is what Enoch said? And this is yet again one of those occasions where Jude cites or calls upon what I'm going to call an extra biblical source. There is really what is called the book of 1 Enoch, and I was surprised. It's a rather large book, over 100 chapters to this little book of Enoch, and what Jude says here in verse 14 and 15 is almost an exact quote from 1 Enoch chapter 1 verse 5. But again, this book called 1 Enoch has never been considered part of what's called the canon. You need to get familiar with that word if you're not. C-A-N-O-N. Not the thing that shoots great big masses of lead and such, but cannonballs, but the canon, capital C-A-N-O-N. And that just talks about the gathered writings, what the early fathers and the early Christians recognized to be the inspired writings. This book of 1 Enoch was never considered to be that. But just because it was never a part of the inspired writings that we have gathered together doesn't mean it doesn't contain some truth. And there are a lot of writers and theologians who get all wrapped up in the fact that Jude is quoting from this book of 1 Enoch. And they're saying, well, what is he doing quoting from this extra-biblical source? In fact, some are ready to take the whole book of Jude and throw it out simply because of that. So they say, well, Jude's not quoting an inspired source. Well, Jude may not be quoting an inspired source, but God the Holy Spirit inspired Jude to write what he did. So I believe there's no problem with accepting what Jude says that Enoch did, because what he said lines up with the rest of the Word of God. The Lord is coming. That's what he said. Behold, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. Amen, Enoch. You're right. Praise God and hallelujah. And it's something, if you really stop and think about that Enoch who lived during that antediluvian age before the flood, way back then, was preaching that the Messiah is coming. He was preaching that Christ is coming. And when he comes, he's not only preaching about Messiah coming to redeem us, he's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is what he is talking about when he comes with his saints. Amen. With 10,000s of his saints. Have you ever been in a car and you're trying to listen to something? Maybe you're trying to listen to a game on the radio, and the kids are in the back chattering and your spouse is talking and you can't hear what you're trying to hear because of all the background noise. Maybe the station is cutting in and out, you know, as you're traveling and you're having a hard time. What happens is a lot of people get caught up with the background noise that Jude is quoting from that book called First Enoch, and they miss what Jude is saying altogether. If you get all wrapped up in, well, should he or should not he, is that inspired or isn't, you get all caught in that background noise, you can't really hear what Jude is saying. And what Jude is telling us is that the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. There are those who are misleading and misteaching. They are deceivers, and there are those who are deceived. And Jude says, I want you to know the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. The Lord is coming. Don't get hung up on all this peripheral stuff and lose sight of the main message, and that is that we need to prepare ourselves because the Lord is coming. And I'm convinced, as I have studied this, the more beautiful it has become to me, that Enoch, who lived way back then, was talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I think if you'll study this along with me, that you'll find that Enoch is actually making reference to the event that I believe will unfold in Revelation chapter number 19. And I'm going to turn over there and read just a little bit. And I believe God's word will bear out that this is exactly what Enoch is talking about, the second coming of Christ. Enoch is not warning us so much about the rapture as he is the bodily return of Christ when he comes back to this earth. When he comes in the rapture, we're going to be snatched up and called away. But when he comes to execute judgment, which is what the text says, then he'll be bringing his people with him. In Revelation chapter 19, you know, I don't know that there's ever been a group of people on this earth who do as good a job as making that which is clear muddy, as preachers and commentators. That's what my dad would always call them, commentators. He said that's just what they are, commentators. But commentaries and those that write them commentators, they can do as good a job. But you know how much I read through as they argued back and forth whether or not Jude, as he quotes Enoch here, is talking about whether or not the Lord will return with thousands of his saints, thousands of his people, or whether or not he's going to return with thousands of his angels. And I'm sitting here reading this back and forth and wondering, you boys sure are going to a whole lot of trouble to prove nothing. Because when you read the book, you're going to find out he's coming back both with his saints and with his angels. Amen. So what are y'all going on about? The word there when he says he's coming back with 10,000s of his saints is just the word myriad, which means an innumerable host. Whether Jude is talking about returning with the Lord returning with his people or returning with his angels, doesn't matter. What matters is that the Lord is coming. He's going to be the one leading the way, not you, not me, not the angels, but him. And I want to read here. I believe this is exactly what Enoch was prophesying and Jude is alluding to when the Lord will return. Revelation 19, Verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth what? Judge and make war. I think that fits very well with what Jude is saying. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Somebody asked me one time, what is that name there? I said, well, how do I know? It says right there in text, no man knows. Ever he. How am I supposed to know? And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name gloriously is called the Word of God. John, in the beginning, was the Word in the beauty of Holy Writ. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this speaks of that time. This is my personal position on this, and unless somebody can show me differently, that I believe Christ will step on the back of that white horse, come thundering out of heaven. This will be at the end of the tribulation period, set up his millennial reign. This is what I think this is talking about, and I think this is what Jude is quoting Enoch in, that the Lord is coming with thousands of his saints, going to come down out of heaven, and we'll be back behind him, and the angels will be with him, and he will fight against the Antichrist, and you get into all that, and you're going to find that Satan will be bound and cast to the bottom of the pit for 1,000 years while the Lord rules and reigns during his millennial reign. I think that's just exact. And when you see this, you're thinking way back before the flood ever rolled over this earth. Back before Methuselah lived, Enoch was preaching that Lord, our Lord. As a matter of fact, it's interesting, for whatever it's worth to you, in verse 14 in Jude, where it says, the Lord cometh. When Jude is, if you'll allow this, as Jude is writing what Enoch prophesied in 1 Enoch, in that book called 1 Enoch chapter 1, it actually says he is coming. But Jude says, let me make sure that you know who he is. It's the Lord. That's who's coming. In fact, you go down, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is who is coming. He's coming with tens or 10,000s. And just so we're all on the same page, it just means an innumerable host. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. A myriad of his people are coming. But then why is he coming? Why is he coming? Verse 15 is the answer to this. To execute judgment. Back in the book of Jude, verse 15, he is coming to execute judgment and to convince. And that word convince means to convict fully. It has the terminology of a legal language, to prosecute. In other words, that the Lord is coming to be judge and jury. He is coming to judge and convict. And not only judge and jury, he wrote the law. He is the one that gave the law, and those that have broken the law will face the very lawgiver himself. And they will be held to account for their breaches of his law, how they have broken his law. He has come to execute judgment. Now, this isn't the only reason why the Lord is coming. The Lord, and I believe again that this speaks of his return to set up his millennial kingdom, and there's going to be a lot that takes place. But what will begin to take place will be the execution of the judgment of the unbelievers. Go on reading there in Revelation 19 where we were, and you're going to find out the Lord is going to make swift judgment of probably an army of tens, if not hundreds of thousands, that are trying to destroy Israel at that time. But I don't want us to be guilty of hiding this truth that Christ is coming to judge. Because modern American Christianity has taken away the idea that we're supposed to judge anything. You can run into the biggest heathen out there in the world and they'll know this: judge not, that you be not judged. This idea that we're not supposed to pass judgment or make judgment or any of those things, has convinced many a saint that even Christ himself's not going to judge, but he will. And Jude says, quoting Enoch, the Lord is coming to execute judgment. Whether we like it or not really doesn't change it. That's what he's coming to do. To execute and convince or convict all. Who? Who is he coming to execute judgment and to convince? Again, verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all. Now, aren't you glad that that doesn't mean all of humanity, but all who are ungodly? Keep reading. The scripture will define for us who those all. All that are ungodly among them. Don't you think that Jude likes the use of that word ungodly? He's going to lay it out right here in this verse. Four times in this short verse, he uses this word ungodly. Who is the Lord coming to execute judgment upon? Who is the Lord coming to convince or convict or punish? All who are ungodly. And that word just simply means those who don't have true religion. Those who have not obeyed the gospel. And we may simply say those who have not been born again. Those are the ones to whom the Lord is coming to execute judgment upon. Those are the ones he is coming to convince, convict, or punish. Those within your family, those within my family, your neighbors, my neighbors, your co-workers, your friends who are ungodly. May I ask a rhetorical question? Do you have any family members who are ungodly? Do you have any friends and co-workers who are ungodly? The Lord is coming to execute judgment upon them. Somebody needs to tell them. Someone needs to love them and warn them. Somebody who needs to live like a Christian ought to live in front of them so they see that it's real. That it's not a joke and it's not a game. The Lord is coming to execute judgment. And I promise you that that judgment will be severe. Brother Earl Smith, dead and gone to glory, a former preacher and pastor. Brother Earl Smith used to serve as a chaplain in a maximum security prison in Little Rock, Arkansas. And he had actually worked for the Sheriff's Department and transported prisoners. He'd been around prisoners a lot. He shared one time this with the church as he was preaching for us. He said, if you talk to somebody who is a career criminal, somebody who's been in and out of jail most of their life, jail doesn't really bother them. Being in prison doesn't really bother them. He said, you want to know what scares them? Standing before the judge. He said, there's something about it. He said, I've been around enough of them. I've heard them say, there's something about standing before that judgment seat that strikes fear into them. Knowing that that gavel will soon fall and that will mean their demise or their doom or their judgment. And I'm telling you that you and I have to remember with even those who oppose themselves, who are ungodly, that they will stand before the judge one day. And God will execute judgment upon them. And he will convict them as they are guilty. And he will be honored and glorified through it. What are they being convicted of? What are they being judged for? Notice verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. All of their wicked works. Every sin. Every transgression, every disobedience. God's database has not been wiped out. He is keeping records. I intend on preaching Sunday morning on the omniscience of God, and I just throw this out. God knows all their ungodly deeds. Do you notice what it says? It says all their ungodly deeds. That which was done in secret, that which was done behind closed doors, that which was done in the corridors of their own mind. All their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. Sinners, delighting in sin. And then furthermore, Jude says, and mock God while they do it. And all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. They will give an account for their works. They will give an account for their words. All the lies that have ever been told. All of the glorious commandments that have ever been broken, they will be found guilty of. And in some degree, in context, as Jude writes and he warns about those false teachers, every false doctrine they have propagated, every lie about God, every lie about the gospel, every lie about the Son of God, every lie about the Spirit of God, every lie that they've ever told that denies the veracity of this truth, they will give an account for. The Lord is coming with thousands of His saints to execute judgment. All of their, what Jude says, hard speeches. And you don't get much help with that, because I'm not totally sure what it means, and not many others that do either. But I look at it like this. Everything that was not filled with truth and love, everything that was filled with selfishness and greed, when you look at it and you talk about these who feed their own selves, they're not shepherds that feed the flock, but feed their own selves, full of greed, full of malice, full of bitterness, full of selfishness. Those are hard speeches that they have ungodly, that ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. I want to read something, if you want to turn over with me, at Psalms chapter number 50. This just serves as a reminder that the Lord is coming and the Lord will judge. This is what I've called this before. It's an Old Testament warning to New Testament sinners. Psalms 50. Look at verse 21. These things thou hast done. Now you go back up if you want to and look at that list that is laid out there of ungodliness is what it is. The Lord is speaking. He said, you've done the ungodly sinners. Psalms 50, verse 21. These things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. That's what people think of God. Well, I got away with it. No. Notice what it says. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Doesn't that sound to you like the Lord is going to execute judgment and convince? Look at verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces. You don't hear that kind of preaching much over the airwaves, do you? A God that says, you either do what I say or I will tear you in pieces. And be holy the whole time He does it. Pure and perfect and just. And there be none to deliver. We see that, and I titled this Enoch's Declaration of the doom, of the demise of those that have deceived or been deceived. Remember this, dear saints, the Lord will come and He will judge. If I can just real quickly, I want to build on this just real quick. I think there's an even greater warning given here as Jude is addressing those who are causing division within that church or within those churches, there's an even greater warning that those who stand and teach, or those that call themselves preachers, say they represent the ministry of Christ, that they be especially careful that they do not mislead or misteach others. Jude and Enoch here, they're not warning about someone who just simply disagrees with us on some minor point of doctrine. That Jude nor Enoch here are talking about how the saints will face the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking about how those who are lost will stand before that great white throne. It's really what is culminating. This is what Jude is building to, Christ coming, which will culminate in that great white throne judgment. And it will be bad enough for those who are simply ungodly. The judgment and severity and the wrath of God Almighty will be bad enough for those who are simply not saved. But imagine the fury and anger of the Almighty for those that have claimed to be ambassadors for Christ, but have told and taught people great and grievous errors. You think they'll get away with it? Do you think somebody who claims to be a Christian pastor but just simply says, well, and I'm not trying to be derogatory, but somebody who is termed to be one of the most successful Christian ministers of our day, but will not come out and boldly declare that there is but one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who claims and is recognized as a Christian minister, but just says, well, for me, that's the best way to go, but I can't decide for anybody else. You think somebody like that will give an account one day? I sure do. This spineless, convictionless, any which way you want to go theology of our day in America today, the Lord will deal with that. I promise you He will. The Lord despises that. Look back to, and don't do it now, but if you look back to the close of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, 30, 31, Jeremiah 5, 30, 31, you'll see that the people, the prophets, prophesied falsely, and what made it worse is that people loved to have it that way. And that's where we are today. But I want to close with this thought. We've looked at the very negative side of this, but very, very, very quickly, I want to look at the positive side of this. The Lord is coming. Jude offers this as a warning to his readers. Be reminded, the Lord is coming. Don't be deceived. But I think we can also look at it in a positive light. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is coming. And He's coming, and when He comes back, He's not coming alone. He's not going to be by Himself. He's coming with thousands of His saints. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day when I see the Lord get up on the back of that white horse and say, come on, I'm coming to lay siege to it. Coming to deliver my nation, and we get to follow Him. And I promise you, when the Lord comes and He begins to rule and reign, people that deceive and teach false doctrine, they're not going to be around long, I tell you that. Righteousness will reign under the rule of King Jesus. Now, you study that millennial reign out, and I think this is what is being addressed when the Lord comes to set that up. You're going to find the Lord ain't going to put up with no foolishness during that time period. He just won't. You get up and try to say, well, for me, the best way to get to heaven was for Christ, but now you go your own way, you're not going to be behind the pulpit very long, not when the Lord's ruling and reigning. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. Until that time comes, though, let us be faithful to evangelize and warn others that judgment is coming.